We will be learning the Sicha, the second Sicha in Chelek Yud and Parshas Vayechi. And the Sicha revolves around the Pasuk in our Parsha that Yaakov called his children before he leaves this world and he wants to give them some messages. And the Pasuk says, Vayikra Yaakov el Bonov, Yaakov called his children, Vayomer, and he said to them, Hey Osfu, gather around, Vagid Alachem, and I will relate to you, I will tell you, I will inform you of what will happen at the end of days. And following that, he says again, he kovtsu, gather together, v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, listen, children of Yaakov, v'shimu al Yisrael avichem, listen to your Yisrael, your father, and he starts to give them brachas. So on the first pasuk, where we learned that Yaakov tells them the first time, gather and I will tell you what will happen in achris hayomim, we learn in Chazal, what was it that Yaakov wanted to tell them? Bikesh Yaakov legalos lebanav haketz, ketz hayomin. Yaakov wanted to tell his children what would happen at the end of time, when Mashiach would come, v'nistalka mimenu shechina, and the shechina departed from him. So this is what the Gemara says. And the Rebbe's question is, how does Rashi know that what Yaakov wanted to tell his children at this point was about the ultimate end at the time of the coming of Mashiach? Perhaps what he wanted to tell them when it says Vagid Alachem was rather related to the brachos and the nevuos that come along afterwards when he speaks to each one of them. That's one thing we have to know. And the Rebbe tells us what makes the Gemara say this, because it says Ba'acharis Hayamim. Acharis Hayamim means at the end of days. And we find that in Tanakh, in various places, that Acharis Hayamim refers to the end of days. But this is not so simple, because first of all, when the term Acharis Hayamim appears in Tanakh, it doesn't always mean the end of days. It could be referring to other things. For example, when Bilam wants to have the last word regarding Bnei Yisrael, when his klolos don't work out and he ends up blessing them, he says to Balak, I want to tell you what will happen to your nation, Ba'acharis Hayamim. And then he say that refers to what will happen in the times of David HaMelech, not necessarily in the times of Mashiach. And even if we do want to say that Acharis Hayamim, the end of days, means the Ketz, the ultimate end, as we see over here, how do we know what he wanted to tell them about the time of Acharis Hayamim? In other words, that he wanted to tell them when it will be, or did he want to tell them something else? He uses the words, I want to tell you what will happen at that time. And what will happen at that time refers to various nevuos, not necessarily when it will happen. As we see, when Yaakov gives the bracha to his children, he also incorporates various nevuos over there. Another thing, Rashi also brings this perush with slightly different words, as we'll see in a little while. How does this appear to be Pshuto Shel Mikra? Rashi is not coming to tell us Midrashim. Rashi is coming to teach us something that we learn out directly from the words of the Pasuk. And when the Rebbe starts explaining the answer, he tells us the following. If you look carefully at the Pasuk, in Pasuk Aleph, in the beginning of the Perek Memtes, Yaakov says, Hey, Osfu, gather around, Va'agid Alachem, and I will tell you that which will transpire in Acharis Hayamim, at the end of days. And he follows that with another pasuk where he says a similar thing. He kovtsu, another word which means gather around, v'shimu b'nei Yaakov, and listen, children of Yaakov, and listen to what your father will tell you. So we find that Yaakov's gathering of his children and letting them know that he wants to tell them something at this point in his life really has two expressions. In other words, perhaps he wants to tell them two different things, two different ideas, and therefore he separates them. One, he says, gather together and I will tell you what will happen. And then he says, gather together and listen. So it's obvious that there are two different messages, two different haggadahs, two different relating of information, and each one needs sort of an invitation, a call to the children to gather together and pay attention. If we look at the second pasuk where he says, he koftsu, come around and listen, what is he telling them then? So we can see that follows immediately with a brachos to all of his children. And that's quite clear. But in the first indication, or the first invitation rather, for the children to gather together, we don't really know what he says. He says, I want to tell you what will happen at the end of days, but we don't see in the pasuk what it is. So we have to try to figure that out. And Chazal tell us, what did he want to tell them? If it's talking about Acharis Hayomim, it's probably talking about the ultimate gates, the ultimate time when Mashiach will come. Why doesn't the pasuk tell us what that is? Because at that point, we learn that he obviously couldn't tell them because the Shekhinah departed from him. That's the Lashon we have. And therefore, he says again, come and gather. And he tells them the other messages, which was the messages of the Brachos, where the Shekhinah did dwell on him and he was able to tell him, to tell them whatever he wanted. But at the same time, we do realize that there was something he wanted to tell them that he never had an opportunity to tell them. And it doesn't say in the pasuk. And how do we know what it really is? Obviously, it's related to the end of time. But how do we know for sure that it's when the kates will happen, when Mashiach will come? Maybe it's referring to other things. So here the Rebbe explains us a very interesting thing. If we pay careful attention to the words, when Yaakov calls his children and he says that he wants to tell them what will happen in Acharis Hayomim, it uses the word va'agida. La'agid means to relate information. So does le'mar, and so does le'daber, but it specifically uses the word va'agida. And the Rebbe teaches us, based on the lessons in Chassidus, that the three expressions of saying something and giving over information have differences amongst themselves. When we say dibor va'yidaber, and he spoke, or adaber, and I will speak, that refers to what the mouth utters. It doesn't refer to anything else. When it says a lashon of amira, like lemar, it's referring to an expression of the heart. And the expression lahagid, like we know the word hagada, the Rebbe says means milin de chachmasa, words of chachma. What does that mean? So how do we distinguish amongst these? So when we say vayidaber, or when we say vayomer, what does that mean? Words come out. Those words do not necessarily indicate what's doing deeply inside the heart. This is something we always experience. When you say something with your mouth, it does not necessarily mean that this is really what you feel in your heart. When you say something and you're expressing that which is in your heart, it's also not necessarily, essentially, what's so deeply rooted in your heart. It could be something that's more superficially rooted in your heart. And the Rebbe gives the example from the famous Rambam, when the Rambam discusses in the laws of Gittin, in the laws of divorce, that there is an inyan to force someone to say, Rotzani, that he wants to do the right thing. He wants to give the get or whatever it is that he has to do, because really, when he doesn't want to give it, it's really the Yetzer Hara that's getting in the way, and that's what he feels. But more deeply inside, the pnimius, the inmost inward recesses of the heart, that's not necessarily what he feels. On that level, every Yid wants to do the right thing. So the expression, Hagada Lehagid, means to give over something that's very, very deeply rooted in the pnimius, in the most innermost recesses of the heart, the most hidden parts of the neshama. And that's actually why we learn that when Hashem uses the word lahagid, that he's like, or he tells Moshe, v'sagid l'fnei Yisrael, which doesn't mention here in the sikha, but whenever we have that expression, it means a most revealed expression of godliness. And that's why Chazal tell us that if you want to have an understanding and awareness of the creator of the world, go learn Agoda. Agoda and Hagoda is the same word, because through the learning of Hagoda, through the learning of Agoda, one comes to recognize Hashem, because Agoda or Lahagid expresses the most pnimiyazdika levels of Torah. And through this, one recognizes the most pnimiyazdika levels of the Eibishter, which is revealed in every Yid. So when Yaakov says va'agida, he's not just saying, I want to tell you something with my mouth, or I want to tell you something that's in my heart, but I want to tell you the most essentially inward, most pnimiyistic, and most profound message that's deeply rooted in the heart. Keitz Hayomin, what's Keitz Hayomin? What will happen ultimately at that time? That the greatest revelations of the innermost secrets of Torah, the innermost secrets of the Ebershter will be revealed to us through the innermost secrets of the Torah in the times of Mashiach. So if that's what he wanted to tell us, and he didn't, and Chazal say, because the Shechina went away from him. What does that mean? The Shechina went away from him. And the Rebbe explains, if we want to understand why Yaakov was not able to reveal this case, this end of time when Mashiach will come, or something of that nature. And the reason that he couldn't do it is because the Shechina departed. What does that mean? We see that right after that, Yaakov continues to give words of Nevuah. If we read the brachos to the children that appear after the second pasuk, where he gathers, calls them to gather and tells them to listen to him, obviously the Shechina was still there. So what does it mean that at that point, the Shechina wasn't there? So let's think about it for a minute. Let's look at the words more carefully. Chazal tell us, Yaakov wanted legalos libano, to reveal to his children the Keitz. So obviously he knew what it was. The problem was that he wanted to reveal it to his children. At the point when he set out to reveal it to his children, he realized that maybe he would be able to do it, because at that point they seemed worthy in his eyes of receiving such a message. And that's why he said to them, gather together. And when you'll all be in a situation where you're all gathered together, hey Osfu, then I will tell you about this time. Hey Osfu v'agid alachem, if you'll all be one, I will tell you what will happen v'achris hayomim. And at that moment, nisfalka mimenu shechina. At the moment when he wanted to bring this shechina down to them, this information, this revelation of godliness, what does the word shechina mean? The word shechina means resting, dwelling. Yaakov felt he had the ability to make this inyan of when the Gilui HaKeitz, of when Mashiach will come, he wanted to bring it down. He wanted it to be something that would dwell within them, something that they would absorb, because shechina means shochenes, it dwells in something, it vests itself in something, it clothes itself in something. So Yaakov did not forget anything. He truly appreciated when the Keitz would be, and we see that it continues later because he tells them words of Nevuah. But what happened here, he did not have the ability to make it come down in his children in a way that it should become a part of them. And that's why Chazal used the words Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. It doesn't say he forgot the Keitz. It doesn't say Nistam, the Keitz was hidden from him, but rather the word Shechina went away, the ability to bring this down into them. Yet, the Lashon Chazal uses it is that they say Nistalka Mimenu Shechina, even though the Shechina was not capable of dwelling in his children because for some reason they were not worthy of it, as we'll see in a moment, yet it says Nistalka Mimenu, it went away from him. Why does it have to do with him? Why did it, he couldn't bring it to them, but why did it go away from him? So this is very easy to understand. The fact that Yaakov became aware that his children were not roi, were not worthy to be vessels, to be kalim, in which this Shechina would be vested in them, this caused a lowering also in him. And this we could appreciate if we look into other inyanim in the Torah. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Luchos, and then the Yidden made the Egel before he came down, why did Hashem say to Moshe? Hashem said to Moshe, straight in the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, Leich Reid, go and descend, go and come down lower. I made you great because of Bnei Yisrael, because of the Yidden, but they're not so good anymore. Something went wrong with them. So Ray, your connection to them now is when you go back, it will be a Yerida for you. Why is there a Yerida for Moshe if they didn't make the Egel? Obviously, what happens to the children, what happens to the nation affects the elders, affects Moshe Rabbeinu, and affects Yaakov. So now comes the next point. If Yaakov's greatness, if his ability to make the Shekhinah come down, depends on the condition of his children, if they are lower, then automatically he is lowered. Why does it say, Nispalka mimenu Shekhinah? The Shekhinah went away from him only after he wanted to reveal to them the time of the case, the time that Mashiach would come. They were already in this position before he ever began to speak to them. And here we also see a similar thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. All we have to do is read the story in the Chumash, and everybody could look this up. When Moshe descended from the mountain, he was holding the two luchos in his hand. He already knew what had transpired because Hashem had told him. He was holding onto the luchos, and as he approached the Yidden, and he saw the egel, and he saw the ceremonial dancing and all the things that were going out on around the egel, the luchos became extremely heavy in his hands, and he got very upset, the pasuk tells us, and he threw the luchos down, and he broke them. Now, why at the moment that he saw the events that were taking place in the service of the egel, why at that moment were they so heavy that he couldn't hold on to them? But the moment before, and the moments when he descended from the mountain, when he knew exactly what was going on, because Hashem had told him, why was he able to hold on to them? What happened at the moment when he actually saw the egel? Because he knew about it, and Hashem had told him that the Yidden had made the egel. There was no doubt in his hand that they had made the egel, so why did the seeing of the activities surrounding the egel cause Moshe to break the luchos? And the Rebbe explains it very simply, that while Moshe was on top of the mountain, while Moshe was in Shamayim, everything that was going on in this world did not really have much of a connection to him because he existed there on a different level. So the Yidden made the egel, but it had no effect on him. And he only knew about it because Hashem told him about it. He heard about it from Hashem, but he had actually never seen it. But once he descended from the mountain and he actually saw the egel, seeing is a different level of appreciation of something than hearing about it. Seeing is much more direct, and it touched him in such a profound way that the lucho suddenly caused a tremendous heaviness in his hands, and he became very upset, and he threw them down. And the similar system of understanding, of reasoning, applies here with Yaakov. Even though Yaakov's children, apparently, before he gathered them to give them the information about the case, were not worthy, apparently, of receiving that information, still, Yaakov had the Shekhinah dwell on him, because he was not really connected to them in that kind of a way. He did not really have that appreciation of them, that they were not worthy, so it didn't affect him. But once he actually practically wanted to come and reveal it to his children, that connects him more directly. That makes him actually see it and see that perhaps they're not up to par the way he would have wanted them to be or the way he thought they were. And therefore, it caused the Shekhinah to go away from him because now he was appreciating them on a different level. Nonetheless, why does the Torah tell us this story? It's an interesting thing. The Torah tells us only those things that teach us practical lessons for our lives, the way we should behave in our time, whatever time that is. And talking to us today, it relates to us. So in the Torah, which is a book of Hora'ah, a book of teaching lifelong lessons with practical application, this obviously, the fact that Yaakov gathered them together and wanted to tell them the case, and he couldn't, because when he saw the level that they were on, he realized that it would not be able to dwell in them. Why does the Torah tell this to us? If it wasn't important for us to know in our practical avodah today, all of us, why do we have to know that Yaakov wanted to reveal the case and he couldn't? And we know another thing. Chazal tell us that when tzaddikim request something, when tzaddikim want to do something, eina chozeres reikam, their bakasha, their request, their plea, their prayer, their desire, never returns empty-handed. So what does that mean? So we can go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We continue the story. Let's take the story from after Chayta Egel and after the 40 years in the Midbar. And Moshe is not allowed to enter the land. And we all know in Parshas Veschanan, early on in Dvarit, Moshe davens to Hashem. He knows he can't enter the land. He has already been told this earlier. And he says to Hashem, Veschanan, I begged, I pleaded, etc., etc. Ebrena va'ere es ha'aretz. I want to go and see the land. Please, please let me go and see the land. Why was Moshe so eager to go and see the land if Hashem did not want him to go in? Because he wanted to affect the Yidden with this. He felt that if he would see the land, he would be able to accomplish in the Yidden, Re'iyah b'Elokus, to be able to see, to truly appreciate Elokus the way he appreciated Elokus. He wanted them to see Elokus. Now he was not able to get them to see Elokus in a pneumistica way, the way he would see it. He was way beyond them. But at least he was able with that tefillah that they should be able to have an appreciation that Rebbe says on the level of Makif, maybe not in the pneumistica way that he would see it, but in a way that it would affect their lives. And therefore he follows by saying to the Yidden, Va'ata Yisrael, Shma El HaChukim. And now Yisrael, listen to the Chukim. So even though they wouldn't be able to appreciate Elokus in the level of seeing, seeing is believing, we all know that. And when you see something, nothing could be more solid than seeing it. Still, Moshe realized that at least in the level of hearing, which is a different kind of penetration, of appreciation of something, at least they would be able to hear. And to see, they would see B'derech Makif. And a similar thing happened to Yaakov just before he left this world. Even though the Shekhinah departed from him and he was not able to tell them, as he says in the beginning, Hey Ospu Va'agida Lachem, and I will give over to you the pneumius of the cakes. And then that did not work because they were not worthy. He continues in the next pasuk. He doesn't give up. He continues to talk to them. He has the Shekhinah in him. He has the power to say Nevu, and he says he kofzu a second time, sort of a call, an invitation. V'shimu b'nei Yaakov, and listen b'nei Yaakov, even though I can't tell you the case, I can give you the ability to work for it, to appreciate it, that with your work in this world, after I leave you, he says to them, you will be able to reveal the case. Maybe not the way I was able, I wanted to tell it to you, but in a way that you will be able to live a life where you will serve Hashem in a manner of freedom, in a matter of magnanimity, in a matter where the nations of the world will not disturb you and the Yetzer Hara will not disturb you. So this is the Rebbe's explanation for what Yaakov wanted to do, why he couldn't do it, and what he ended up doing, very similarly patterned after the way Moshe Rabbeinu gave over whatever he had to us, and if he couldn't accomplish that on the level of Pnimius, at least he accomplished it on the level of Makif. Now we have to figure out one more thing. When we started learning the Sicha, we learned the Pasuk, and we learned that the Chazal tells us, that the Gemara tells us, that what did Yaakov want to do? Yaakov wanted to be Megala, to reveal to his children, Keitz Hayomin, the end of days, the end of time, when Mashiach would come, then istalka mimenu shechina. That's the lashon of Chazal. If you look carefully at the Rashi, Rashi definitely comments on this pasuk with this Chazal. But if you pay careful attention, Rashi's wording differs slightly from the wording of Chazal. So Rashi very often quotes what the Gemara says, what the Midrash says, what Mishnah says. And very often when he quotes with the words, with the exact lashon of the source. But in this case, there are slight variations. Let's look carefully at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Va'agid alachem," and I will tell you in Pasuk Aleph, "Bikech Yaakov legalos es haketz." Yaakov wanted to reveal the ketz libonov to his children. If we look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't say the word Labanov. Rashi says only, Bikesh Yaakov, Legalos, Es Haketz. Number one. Number two, the Gemara says, Bikesh Yaakov, Legalos Esketz Hayomin, which could mean the end of days. It also says sometimes Ketz Hayomin. Is it the same thing? Is it a different thing? Some opinions say it's the same thing. But Rashi doesn't add that description to the word Ketz. Rashi only says Legalos Es HaKetz. And then the Gemara says that the Shechina went away from Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. But Rashi doesn't say that right away. Rashi says, Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. And then Rashi adds the words, Vehischil Omar Dvarim Acherim, and he began to say different things. As we see in the Psukim, he began to give brachos to the Shvatim. So why does Rashi add the words, Vehischil Omar Dvarim Acherim? So if we know anything about Rashi, and the Rebbe certainly made clear to us when he started to teach us Sichas on Rashi, how much Rashi is so meticulous with every word, with every note, with every letter. And Rashi is coming to teach us Pshuto Shel Mikra, not to teach us Midrashim, because that's what Chazal say. So some of this is quite simple and quite easy for anyone to understand. Rashi stops specifically on the words, the Agida Lachem, and I will say to you. I will say to you, who is you? You are the children. So Rashi doesn't have to say that Yaakov wanted to say something Labanov to his children, because here we have a direct approach from Yaakov to his children. I will say to you, there's no reason to double the expression to you and to say your children. Similarly, there are distinctions between the expression Ketz Hayomim with a nun and Ketz Hayomim with a mem. And some say it's the same thing, and some say there are differences, but that's not really what we're learning here. All we're concerned with is that Yaakov wanted to reveal the Ketz. Next, why does it say in Rashi, not in the Gemara that Rashi quotes, Vehischil Omar Dvarim Acherim? Why do we have to know that? We see that in the Pasuk. Because what does it say in the Pasuk? In the Pasuk it says, Va'agiga lachem, and I will relate to you, and I will tell you, and we learned earlier, that the Lashon of Haggadah, the Lashon la'agid means what? It means to reveal something very, very profound, to reveal the most inner secrets that touch the recesses of the heart, to reveal the most inner revelations of the Lakus. And this is very difficult to appreciate from the pshat of the pasuk. So therefore, maybe Rashi wants to say something else. If the pasuk says that Yaakov says to them, I will tell you what will happen in Acharis Hayamim, and we don't find that this is explained anywhere in the pasuk or mentioned or even alluded to. So what does Yaakov end up saying? He ends up talking about something completely different in the next pasuk when he says gather, when he says the words he calls to, and listen, B'nai Yaakov. So that's something different. It has nothing to do with the revelation of the Ketz. And therefore, in Pshat, Rashi has to say that he starts saying something different because we have no way of interpreting what Agida could mean. If Agida means to reveal Pnimius, we don't see that in any way in the pasuk. And of course, we begin to look further, and we see the brachos, and we see that this is what Yaakov, the beginning is. Listen to what I will tell you regarding this. Now, practically speaking, what do we come away with when we learn this pasuk, and specifically when we learn this Rashi, and this verse that Rashi brings, that Yaakov wanted to reveal the Ketz, and he was not able to make the Shechina dwell in that kind of way in his children, and therefore he had to tell them something else, which includes many words of Nevuah, by the way. It just comes from reading the Pesukim and reading Rashi, and telling them things for which the Shechina definitely was dwelling on him the whole time. So this is the Horah. And the Rebbe has made this very clear to us in all the years since this Sicha was said, and this is really what we learn every time we learn some of the words of our Rebbe. And these are the Rebbe's words regarding our Aravoda, that there are some people who think the following way, I suppose we all do, regarding the succession of the generations after Yaakov, after Moshe, regarding the coming of Mashiach. And we always wonder, and we say, we know that the Iris Yeridas HaDorot, the generations perhaps are less great in Ruchnius, in Torah, than they were in earlier times. And we know Mashiach is coming, so we wonder, we puzzle, how can it be that in our generation, which we know is a Dar Yosom, an orphan generation, we don't have what the other generations had in a way that we could appreciate. So how could this generation be the one that will be capable of receiving the revelations, the Giluyim of the future Giluyim? Something so great that never happened. And all the earlier generations, the greatest people in all levels and in many different ways from us, they were not worthy of that. So how could we in our time be worthy of such a thing? So here comes the lesson. And I'll read it in the Rebbe's words because there's no better way to say it. Because through the fact that Yaakov wanted to reveal the caves to his children, he couldn't do it, but he wanted to. What happens through that? He gives every single Yid in every single period in history the koach that he wanted, that he gave his children at the time when Nistalka Mimenu Shechina. And the Rebbe says further, Va'adla Hasiluk Vehelem Hayosher Gadol Shebedoreinu Zeh. Even in a time when the ability to make the Shechina dwell seems so distant and so concealed, more so in our time than ever before, when we are experiencing and when we have experienced and we continue to experience a Choshech Kofel U'Mechupol, not only a darkness, but a darkness that is doubled, and that in turn is doubled. That even now, we have a koach tmidi, a constant, consistent, everlasting ability to accomplish the fact that in one moment, the Rebbe says, b'shaita chaga, in 1 hour, u'beriga chada, and in one moment, we will be able to reveal the kates with a future geula shlema. And all those that say that our generation is not worthy of this, this in itself is a proof that we are in the time when Mashiach will come, because we are all familiar with the Maamar Chazal that says that Mashiach will come to Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas means when you're not paying so much attention to it, when your mind is caught up with other things. Because we are now living in a time and in a situation when our intellect and our appreciation of higher things in a revealed way, does not see any way how the Gula could come, if it hasn't come all the times previous to ours. And our time definitely does not seem to be in many ways brighter than before. So this is a Hesach Hadas. We can't possibly comprehend how it's going to happen. So the Rebbe says this is the best proof, the ultimate proof, the most expert proof that the Gula is very near. Why? Because the whole purpose of this whole discussion is not to think and not to wonder, not to think that we have to have Hesach Hadas. We shouldn't pay attention to Gula. We shouldn't be concerned with it so it won't come. On the contrary, we are taught, and no one has ever made us more aware of this than our Rebbe, that we have to learn about Mashiach and we have to prepare for Mashiach and we have to live with Mashiach. These are words not necessarily in this Sicha, but in all the Sichas we've had earlier and until the very last words we merited to hear with our own ears of flesh from our Rebbe. We have a basic principle of the emunah of Yiddishkeit, the emunah of Torah that every Yid has. Every single day we wait, we look forward to, we hope, we anticipate that Mashiach will come. And the point really is that without looking at anything around us, without delving into how could it be that Mashiach will come now, if he didn't come until now, are we really worthy, are we not worthy, and all these thoughts that constantly go through our minds. Certainly this is the time when the emunah in the coming of Mashiach is stronger than ever, because in truth we learn in many places that when we understand things, we don't need emunah. But when do you need emunah? When things don't necessarily make sense, when we can't see how it will happen, when we can't really know how it will happen, it's an emunah that's completely above reason, completely above logic, completely above understanding. The Rebbe says, this is the avod of Hesach Hadas. We know we can't understand, we know we won't understand, but if we nurture this emunah, if we learn those things that help us appreciate this emunah, because the emunah comes only after the learning, so we have to keep learning, we have to keep hoping, we have to keep teaching this to our children, and the more we do this, we will merit ultimately that very soon the Rebbe says, Bekar of Mamish, Ben David Ba. Let us hope that through learning the Torah of our Rebbe, through teaching the Torah of our Rebbe, to sharing it with others, and through living it and really taking it to heart, our emunah will flourish, it will burn more brightly than ever, and ultimately we will actually merit to see the Rebbe and to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu, all of us together, Bekar of Mamish. Thank you all.